Welcome to Dating Log, the podcast that records the ups and downs of dating in your 30s and beyond. I'm your host, Wyndham Juno, and this is episode 19, Marriage is Overrated. Our next guest is a seasoned dater. He's been on the market for 12 years after being married for nearly 30. Unlike some of our other guests who are still figuring out what it is exactly that they're looking for, Todd's got a full list of what he wants, including some non-negotiables. We talk about dating post-marriage, knowing what you want, and dating sober. Here's Todd.
My name is Todd. I'm 58 years old, and I live in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm a straight male, obviously. Obviously, I'm a male. I'm straight. I met a woman when I was 20, and we ended up being married or together for about 27 years. And then I divorced about 12 years ago. I have two children and a stepson. They're all three adults, former stepson from that marriage. They're all three adults and have moved out. So I'm a 58-year-old single guy who lives alone, who's been divorced for about 12 years. And so that's where the dating started, I guess. So should I dive into that?
Yeah, I would like to know, let's 10 to 12 years ago, how have you been meeting people? Which, are you using any apps? Are you using matchmakers? Are you going on blind dates? What has been your journey?
You know, I would say all the above. Probably one of the, I can't remember which dating app I used first, but it was probably match.com. And I just remember being, after getting over the trauma of a divorce, because it's really hard, obviously, I was kind of seeing dating as an exciting thing. I was really excited to get out there and meet new people. And so I think I started a match.com account. I met some cool people. Nebraska, the challenge with where I live is the population is about 300,000, but then there's nothing around us unless you drive another hour to Omaha. And so I've just found the dating pool is pretty limited here for people in my age bracket. Everyone's got their checklist of things they're looking for in a partner. So by the time you go through that kind of screening process, it's just been challenging to meet someone. So I tried dating someone who lived about 2 hours away, and the distance just didn't work for my schedule. She was very nice, very cool. And then I actually met someone just randomly in a bar one night that turned out to be one of my best friends. We dated on and off for about 2 to 4 years. I can't say exactly how long, but I think we were both wanting a very casual kind of, I think we were both sort of nervous about jumping right back into a serious relationship, but that's what we did for all purposes. We were an exclusive couple, and she was very cool, and we had a great couple of years together. Just there was a huge age difference, and that I could never get over that. So we've remained really good friends. That was a meeting, an in-person meeting through a bar, just a random bar encounter. So I've tried Tinder, not a fan.
For what reason? What reasons are you not a fan of Tinder?
It just seems gritty. Like everyone, it seems like a lot of people are there just for, maybe just for the hookup kind of culture. Many of the women on there have profiles that say not here for a one-night stand or a hookup, but then their photographs totally tell a different story. You know, tons of cleavage and very provocative poses. It's like, well, you catch the fish based on the bait you're using. So I don't know. It looks a little like you are looking for that. But so when I would go on dates from Tinder, I would generally find that was sort of like what the mission was of the people on the website, which no judgment there if that's what you're into. I don't know. Maybe the quality of people you'd meet on Tinder seemed a little less, you just didn't meet what I was looking for, which is hopefully, a stable, adult, reasonably grounded person, So that's been my experience with Tinder. Not a lot of biographical information, right? Most people just post a picture, I notice, on there where they're not really telling their story about what their interests are. I actually tried Plenty of Fish years ago and thought that was kind of a cool app in that, I'm not mistaken, that's the app that asks a ton of questions about you, all kinds of weird, seemingly weird questions. Like, do you like ice cream or do you like pastries? Or, all these weird questions that then come up with a profile, and then they match you with people that, they've got this supposedly this magic algorithm that they can use to pair people's personality types. I think it was Plenty of Fish that did that, or over the last 12 years. Yeah, I've tried a lot of different ones. So Tinder, Plenty of Fish, which never really worked out. Bumble, Bumble seems a little more of like a respectful, stable people on there, but no guarantee.
Have you had any successes from Bumble?
No, I've not had success with any dating apps. The very few successes I've had have been either in-person meetings or Facebook, actually, just random Facebook connections, believe it or not.
Yeah, I don't believe it. What do you mean by random Facebook connection?
People just Facebook message me, or they'll send me a friend request, and then I'll get a message shortly thereafter saying, oh, I never do this, but you seem like a nice person, you know, that kind of thing.
And in terms of, I mean, you just said, I've had no success on the dating apps. Are you still on the dating apps? Question one. I see you nodding. Yes. And what is the reason then, if you feel like they've not given you so much?
That's a loaded question. No, there's a couple of reasons, or let's call them theories, because they're just my theories. I don't know if I'm accurate. First of all, I was in a really rough marriage for 27 years. It's very possible that I've got some unresolved issues that maybe I need to be addressing by seeing a counselor, right? Or a therapist. Maybe I've got something. I don't know. My feeling is that I do have a list of things, some criteria for a potential partner that I'm not very negotiable on. Like, I really want them to be within 10 years of my age. There's some super cool, super attractive young women out there that are willing to date older guys, but I don't know what it is. For me personally, it's not pleasant, or it's just not my jam, right? Being with a girl who's 20 years younger than me makes me feel a little uncomfortable. I don't know what it is.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think it's vanity. I'm just going to be totally straight. I think it's vanity on my part, where I just don't want to grow old in front of a young woman. And, you know, and I think that from 0 to 40, maybe even 50, if you're lucky, you just improve with age. You don't really get too rough looking. But then after 50, I feel like you peak, and now you're on the downhill slide. So if you're dating a woman who's coming up in the world, you know, and she's looking great, and she's 30, let's say, or 40, she's going to look great for like another 10 or 20 years at least before she even starts to show aging. Where if you're 50, or in my case, 58, man, I'm on the downhill slide. Like, it's going to get worse every day, physically. So I don't want some super attractive young woman to look at me and feel like she's stuck with this old guy in 20 years. Like, right now is fine. It's 20 years from now that I worry about. Like,
so you mentioned physically. What about emotionally, mentally, this criteria of within 10 age of you? How does that come into play?
Well, that has been an issue with younger women, where they're just immature and it doesn't work. But I've actually met a couple of people that are almost 20 years younger that are pretty mature. And it wasn't the mental piece of it. And I can be pretty, I don't want to say immature, but I'm pretty young at heart, I think. So I think we can meet in the middle there a lot of times. It's the physical piece where I just feel self-conscious about my outward appearance, or I'm worried about that, how that's going to look in 10 to 20 years. You know, because I look at my parents, at least my dad's still alive, and you know, they're about 20 years older than I am. And I'm like, damn, at my age, I would not want to date someone their age. No offense, Dad, but you know, like they're old, and that's what the 20-year age gap would look like for some woman when she hits my age. At 50, she's going to look at this 70-year-old dude and like, man, that guy's old. So that's an issue. Okay, so that's checklist item number one. Hopefully within 10 years. I absolutely love kids, and being a parent is by far the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I can't tell you how much I love being a dad. And I just love kids. I think kids are awesome. But when I met my ex-wife, I was 20 and she had a 2-year-old. And I more or less raised him, and he's turned into an awesome young man. But I started raising kids at 20, and then we had two kids of our own over the years that were spread way out. So I started raising kids when I was 20, and my youngest moved out when I was like 52. So there was like 32 years of raising kids in my life, where I was just raising kids for 32 years. And a lot of those years were very challenging as a parent. I'm not going to get into all that. But so now I'm ready to be done raising kids. And I've sat through 32 years of soccer games and basketball games and Chuck E. Cheese and trampoline park and all that, you know, and like, I'm kind of over that. So women who have pretty young kids, like if they're not in high school or approaching college, they're I'm probably not a good fit just because I've just done that. I'm ready to be free and do adult stuff. That's checklist item number two. Checklist item number three is distance. I know that people can make long distance work, but I'm just not one of those people. I just have to be honest with myself and other people that if I have to do a 2-hour round trip to see you, it's probably not going to work just because I'm super busy at work. When I get off, I really just don't want to have to do a 2-hour round trip just to have a drink or dinner with you or something. You know, it's just not, to me, it's just not my thing. I'm more traditional. I'd love to come home, change clothes and have some spontaneity and say, hey, let's go to dinner and just run to dinner. So there's that. Probably first on the list should have been just mental and emotional stability. And there's just a lot of people out there that are dealing with a lot of rough things and they're just not in a good place and probably shouldn't be dating. And so you run into a lot of those on dating apps.
Okay.
Physical appearance. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, I was going to ask, have you had any encounters or say you saw someone once or twice or a few times and then you realize this mental emotional thing is happening with them? And what does that do for you?
Yeah. So like I said, my marriage was really rough. It was a ton of physical passion, zero compatibility on all the other important areas. So there was a lot of conflict in my marriage. And so I'm pretty low tolerance in that area where if I start sensing dysfunctional behaviors or unkind behaviors, people that can't just resolve differences like an adult with kindness, I guess, is be considerate, like be respectful in how you disagree on things. If someone's lacking in that area, if they're just acting crazy, I'm just out. I just can't, A, I can't tolerate it. And B, I learned a valuable lesson. You can't change people. You know, that's just how they are. So I have a low threshold for drama. I'm a pretty laid back guy. So that's an important one. Physical attraction. I've completely left out physical attraction. You know, I feel shallow because we're all going to lose it. We're all going to get old and wrinkly and unattractive. But right now, you know, physical attraction and sexual attraction is important. So
yeah, definitely.
That's a thing. Financial stability is an important thing that I kind of screen people out on. Does not equate to wealthy. I could care less if someone's wealthy. I just worry, you know, I find it unsettling when someone's just barely making it paycheck to paycheck and they're 45, 50 years old. I don't know. I mean, I'm not wealthy, but I'm stable and I hope to find a partner who's stable.
How has this checklist changed since your, let's say, divorce 12 years ago? Because you were in this one relationship for almost 30 years, right? I've rounded up. And was what you were looking for then when you were 42, was that?
47.
47, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
How has that changed from the beginning of that process to now?
Great question. I think it's gotten longer and more refined through trial and error. You know, so you go on a date with someone, they're completely crazy, and you walk out of there like, oh, never again. I have to be a better judge of character on these folks, you know, or you drive all the way to Omaha and it's an hour each way. So you get back from a 2-hour round trip on a date that was just a complete dud. And you're like, God, why do I do that? Why do I drive all the way to Omaha? And a lot of this is online dating. So to me, the number one flaw with online dating is it's lacking the number one thing that we humans use to determine compatibility or attraction to a partner. And that's the in-person human interaction. Like, and there's a lot of in between, right? There's the dating app, texting and swiping on pictures, which is the lowest level of interaction and gives you the lowest amount of sense of who somebody is. And then there's a face-to-face meeting, which is on the other end. That's the best, right? And in the middle, you know, like some women, they like to do a phone call before the first meeting. I love that. Or a video chat, even better, because you can totally gain more feeling or information about who the person really is on a phone call or a video chat. But even that doesn't substitute for the in-person. And so I feel like that's the fatal flaw with dating apps, is that you're making these decisions based on all this criteria that almost means nothing in real life. What really matters is whatever that magic is that happens when you're meeting face-to-face. I don't know what it is, but that's where the dating apps, in my opinion, have a very low return on investment, where you spend hours, days, weeks, months, years looking at profiles like a catalog, swiping on photos, and chatting with people for days, maybe before meeting in person, only to find out you have nothing in common with this person. Even though the chats went pretty well and their photos, you know, maybe they look very attractive in the photo, but you immediately pick up on something when you meet them in person. And you're like, nope, not my person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the energy. You're literally entering someone's energy and they're entering yours.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's all these little subtleties that you can only pick up in person that really matter. So, but practically or theoretically, the dating app seems like such a convenient way for busy people to make connections, to screen through potential partners. But it's, I just find that it doesn't work for me.
So dating apps not working out so well for you. How does this have you feeling?
I've been thinking about that a lot, Lyndon, lately. My life is so good right now and peaceful, right? I have a great job. I have great friends. I have this peaceful house I live in with nobody busting my ass about anything. It's just nice, you know, like being single is very freeing. It's not for everyone. You know, like I have friends that were married just like me forever. They got a divorce and within a year they were married again. And I'm like, how the hell did they do that? Like, how did they meet someone that fast? I don't know. So I have a lot of friends that do that. And then I sometimes think, well, what's wrong with me? Why am I not married after 12 years? But I'm just very happy being single. But I do go through periods of loneliness, you know, like just lately, I've just had this feeling of, you know, damn, I'd really like to have a partner. I'd love to go to dinner with someone, go to the movies, just hang out, go for a bike ride, you name it. Like they say, most things are more fun when you have a companion to deal with, right? So it's got me feeling that way, you know, just on occasion, I feel lonely. But I also feel like the longer you are single, and my aunt who's been single forever, she's like 80 years old. She's always said that she's been single her whole life. It's like you just reach a point where you've been single so long that it's like concrete that kind of just hardens and sets after it's been poured. And it's hard to break all your habits and routines and be open. Like I think about what it would look like for somebody to, or for me to combine my life with somebody at this point, like combine households, combine all our stuff. Like, do I have enough closet space in my house for a woman to move in or vice versa? Or, you know, could I give up all this independence I have and freedom? And so I worry about that. I'm not a big fan of marriage. I'm a big fan of monogamy, right? I was totally monogamous and faithful to my ex-wife for 27 years or you know, during our marriage, but it was rough. The outcome of getting divorced is really rough. And I don't feel like the risk of the physical or the institution of marriage in America, at least, it's all risk and no benefit for guys, particularly. I just feel like, so I'm all about monogamy. I'm all about one partner, lifetime commitments, all that stuff's great. And a marriage certificate, it really doesn't provide you any guarantee of that stuff anyways. If someone's going to leave you or cheat on you, they're going to do that regardless of that worthless piece of paper. The only difference is that when they do that, they can take half your physical assets with them after they betray you. And to me, that's just not a good proposition. It's all risk, no reward, other than like some small tax benefit of claiming married on your tax form.
Yeah.
And maybe health insurance. So I can be a really great partner without being married and faithful. And I trust a woman can do the same thing. I don't need her to sign some contract with me. I want her to stay with me because she wants to be there, not because she's afraid of all the negative consequences of going through a legal divorce.
Can you tell me, I heard you mention the word companion. I heard you mention the word partner. I heard you mention monogamy. What is it that you're looking for with dating?
All those things. Yeah. You know, companionship, a friend, romance, you know, like that feeling, romance. Everybody likes that feeling of being in love. I want to love and be in love and be loved, you know, all three of those things. Obviously sex is really important. So that's a thing. Sex with a partner who you are with, you know, you are in a committed relationship with someone. The intimacy is so much better than just the whole one night stand or friends with benefits kind of thing. There's just no comparison. I don't think there's that emotional or mental component that you get with that you don't get in those one night stand or friends with benefits arrangements. You know, just someone to do things with. You know, if I want to get in the car and do a 3-day quick road trip, weekend road trip. How much fun is it to go by yourself? It's almost kind of weird, especially as a guy. Like, I'm just going to a restaurant by yourself. It's like, yeah, it's all right. It's corny, you know, but watching a sunset by yourself versus watching it with someone who's right next to you that you really admire and care about, and you're enjoying it together. It seems to amplifies it. You know, an amazing dinner at an amazing resort, way more enjoyable when there's somebody enjoying it with you. I don't know why. A concert, a music show, same thing. Like looking over to your best friend / partner and saying, man, that was like such an amazing show, and you're all having a great time. It's just that's just all companionship, I guess.
Yeah, you mentioned before the experiences over material things, and these all sound like experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. So all those things. I think there's something to be said too, that term, oh, I'm looking for someone to complete me, gets bashed, right? It gets criticized a lot because everyone says, oh, no, you should come into a relationship whole, and then the two of you complement each other. And that's probably true. But probably one of the best relationships I've ever had, there was just something about that partner that I felt brought the best out in me. And it brought something out in me that doesn't come out by myself, that I just really love. Like, she made me feel better as a person. And I think she felt the same way, like she would express that same thing. And the opposite is true. In my marriage, and this is not a slam on my ex-wife, we were just a terrible match, but she's a great match for someone, just not me. But I definitely was my worst self during my marriage. I was super unhappy with that person, and it just brought out a part of me that was really bad. The reverse is true though too. Like, if you find a really great partner who's good for you, I found it brought out the good, like parts of me that I didn't even know I had, maybe. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. What are some of those parts that came out?
Maybe more carefree, more laid back, less serious, a little more playful, maybe, or goofy. I can be way too serious on my own. Left to my own devices, I can be way too serious. And so with the right person, they kind of push me out of that comfort zone a little bit. I'm also adventurous, but I'm not good at initiating adventure. So I'm down for just about anything someone suggests, but I'm not necessarily the instigator. So I kind of need a kick in the ass to do something, but I'm a great partner. If you get me going, I'll do it. You know, let's go. So that was something I think that person brought out of me. I'm very structured and I'm very routine in my life. And that serves me well in a lot of areas, but you need a little spontaneity too and adventurousness. And a partner sometimes can help me bring that out.
I'd like to know, you mentioned looking for, this companion, this partner, you mentioned loneliness, you mentioned, you know, the longer you're single, the harder it is. And you also mentioned really enjoying your freedom. So how does this lifestyle you are leading now, with the freedom and doing your own thing and feeling really good about yourself, how does that work with dating, which seems to be, if I'm hearing correctly, mostly frustrating at this point in time? How can you weave those things together and have the life that you want?
Yeah, I think it's a balance. I think it's, again, finding that person that's compatible for you, who's looking for something similar. Like, the one relationship I can think of that's probably been the most enjoyable and compatible, the person, she also wanted a certain degree of independence. Like, she needed some space. And so we lived apart. We had our own places nearby. We spent most evenings together. Some evenings she would stay the night, but not all. And so I think we just had that option, that's physical and emotional freedom as needed, right? So maybe marriage is just such an all or nothing proposition, where if you're single, you're single. And if you're married, you're totally married, and there's no in between, right? So your lives are totally enmeshed when you're married, and you're under the same roof and under each other's feet every hour of the day, or you're totally single. Well, I think there's a lot in between. I think especially these days, more couples are opening up to the idea of separate residences nearby. And I'm not saying that has to be that way. I could cohabitate with someone. I did for 27 years. But it's kind of nice. Like, there were just some nights where she just needed to be on the couch by herself, you know, with her dog or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's totally cool with me. I'll go out with my friends or hang out and do my own thing. And so I think it can work. I think I'm open to a traditional relationship living under the same roof, but I'd also definitely be open to, we maintain our own places, our own houses, but we spend most of our time together. And maybe, you know, all this is theoretical, Wyndham, because I've not been there, but maybe after a couple of years of that hybrid living, you just decide, you know what, we really love each other and this is silly to maintain two mortgages and all this duplication of expenses. Let's just live together and save a bunch of money that way. So maybe that's what happens. I don't know.
Yeah. How does your age and location come into play with dating? At the beginning, you said there's like 300,000 people here.
Yeah. Neither are good, right? The cool thing about Lincoln is it's very family oriented, Lincoln, Nebraska. So 300,000 people, sort of a rural farmland kind of part of the country, old school values. It's a really great place to raise a family. Most good candidate women are married, you know, because that's the culture here. It's not a single life culture like Los Angeles or New York or Atlanta. It's a family, get married young, have kids, go to soccer practice every day on the weekends and go to church and grow old together. That's Lincoln, Nebraska. So there's just not a ton of single women out there, in my opinion. And then the age factor only compounds that challenge because the older you get, and me included, you know, the more baggage you've accumulated and, you know, you get kids that come into play, that gets complicated. And I think the older you get and the longer you're single and getting older, it's hard. It can be hard. It's like being unemployed, right? Like there's unemployed people. And at first they work very hard to go out and submit applications, go through interviews to get a job. But after enough rejections in the job market, they eventually just quit trying, right? They just become unemployed. They just give up. And I think dating's like, it's kind of like that, where it can get tiring just going on date after date, telling your story over and over and never making that connection and never finding that person that you've been wanting to find your whole life. It can be discouraging, but I'm not giving up. I'm not a quitter. So still going on dates.
And what is your approach going on dates? Let's say in the last 6 months, what has your approach to dating been and how do you do it?
My goal is to act like you are acting right now with my questions and ask really nice questions that create good conversation. You know, the basics. I try to be respectful. I was a law enforcement officer for 28 years. And so I've seen a lot of weird people do weird stuff. So I completely understand and actually feel bad for women and what they have to deal with on the dating scene. Cause there's a lot of weird dudes out there that do weird stuff. And some of it's like serious safety, personal safety stuff. So I always try to be respectful. I try to be conscious of that and, you know, pick locations that are comfortable for women, give them the choice, not be too, I don't know. I try to give women a lot of the choices in that area just so they feel comfortable on the date. Try to keep it casual, just knowing my track record of how unsuccessful I've been. I try to keep my expectations low so I don't get too disappointed. Another wild card in all this is that I quit drinking about almost 2 years ago. And that is a serious handicap in the social and dating scene, I find. Because tell me more. You know, alcohol is just such a big part of so many people's social lives, and mine included. It was a huge part. Like everything I did, it seemed like was, hey, let's go out to that new craft beer brewery and let's have some beers, or hey, let's go to dinner and have dinner and drinks. And how many opening lines on dating apps when you're finally ready to meet someone start out with, hey, would you be interested in grabbing a drink? You know, so now I'm like the coffee, ice cream, or go for a walk guy, right? And it's just like, I like it, but women are probably like, we need to go for a walk. I'm, you know, like take me out in the woods. So that's been a challenge.
I was going to say, what is the response to that? When you say, someone says, hey, would you like to go for a drink? And you say, I don't drink. And then what happens?
Honestly, it hasn't been as bad as I thought. I can't think of a single person that has said, you know what? I think we probably wouldn't be a good match because of that. And I would totally respect that honesty and would be totally fine with that. But that's not happened, to my surprise. And actually, I feel like a lot of people are starting to second guess or question their alcohol consumption. I do it mainly just for health reasons. I was a lifetime drinker. I did not have a good relationship with alcohol. I wasn't the guy going to jail or doing crazy stuff when he gets drunk, but it just sucked. Like I was waking up with hangovers all the time and I just didn't like how it made me feel and was making bad decisions.
Yeah.
So it's been, I feel like women have been very supportive and good about it, but it's just made it harder. You know, it's like going to the bar is a really common way of meeting people, getting out there. That's where the single people go, to the bar. Well, I don't go to a bar where do I go to meet people now? The gym would be a good place. Yeah. The gym's probably a good place, but I hate working out in commercial gyms. I love working out, but I hate gyms. The culture is just totally gross for me. I don't like it, but so I do need it. Maybe that's an area I need to work on. It's where is a good place to go? I'm going down a rabbit hole. I don't even remember what your question was. Sorry. Well, setting up the date, like the first date, how do I set it up or approach it? Yeah. Just try to be myself and be casual because I want to put on a good presentation of myself. I hate to use that word. That's not the right word, but I want to show up in a good way, you know, and make a good impression, but I don't want to be phony either. Like if they're going to be into me and we're going to be together for a while, they're going to eventually see the real me. So the sooner they see the real me, the better. So I try to show up that way. I'm probably way too cautious or reserved because I probably have this belief that there's a 90% chance it's not going to work out. So that might be a hindrance to me. I might be showing up a little.
You're showing up already with a like failure stamp.
Yeah, maybe that's a thing. I love to learn about people, but being a former law enforcement person, I do hear from time to time that my communication style, at least on the first date, can feel like an interrogation or like a job, the job interview. And this is so corny. God, I hope especially my guy friends ever hear this podcast, but there's a podcaster named Logan Urey. Have you ever heard her stuff?
No.
She wrote a book, I think, called Fuck the Spark, I think is the name of the book. And her whole thing is how to successfully meet your life partner, right? And she goes into all these things like, hey, people place way too much emphasis on the spark and the chemistry. Because even in the best relationship, that stuff wears off after the first couple months to the first year or two. And then what really matters is this a person that's going to stand there and be there for you when you get a cancer diagnosis or you have you lose your parent and you're going through the difficulty of a mom passing away and having to work through all that. Is that a person that's going to show up for you and be there for you? And is that a person that is kind-hearted and when you have a disagreement, they approach that disagreement with you in a way that they still love you and they want to truly find a way to work this out together and not just win the battle at all costs and crush you, you know? So anyways, her podcast is actually very interesting. And one of the things she talks about is, for God's sakes, like, don't make these first dates a job interview. Don't just go to coffee, look at each other and ask a million questions. Where are you from? What do you do for work? All that stuff that gets nauseatingly predictable after 12 years of being on a dating scene. So her thing is like, do an activity, like go for a walk or go to dinner and actually eat some tacos and let the food run down your face and just be human, you know, like get past that job interview date. So I think there's some validity to that. I think that's been good. Like I do tend to say, hey, you know, there's a really cool lake in town here, like a city park. And I love going on a walk to meet someone that way. It's just cool. It's more organic. I don't know if that's the right word, or natural. That's not to say that a great coffee date can't be great or going out for a drink, but you know how it is. It can just become very, very routine and predictably dry. I don't know.
Have you had any really terrible dates?
Yes. Yeah. There was a person I drove to Omaha to meet and they seemed pretty normal online. They looked pretty nice online and we agreed to meet at a sports bar that they suggested. I didn't know the area. So they suggested this sports bar. So I get there and I'm in the lobby waiting and I just look out in the parking lot and I see this woman approaching and she's a mess. Like, I'm just going to be honest. Like, she looked like she just pulled a kind of like a dress, but kind of like a bathrobe out of a box that it was just, her hair was disheveled. She just looked like she was a mess. And she came in and, I was like, crap, I'm committed. Like I'm not going to be a cold hearted jerk and just like walk out. So, you know, I just had the dinner and it was very weird. And, she had some serious behavioral issues that I somehow just didn't notice in the texting. And, this
like
person,
what happened?
This person, this is not nice because I'm not trying to make fun of her. She was mentally unstable. We're just going to say that. And so then when the date ended, I was just trying to get out of there, you know, and politely, I was trying to be kind, you know, not be a jerk. And then like the full court press came on about other stuff. Like, hey, you're not even going to do this with me. And I was like, whoa, no, I'm not. And it was very weird. It was very strange. So that was a weird one. It's sad. I've been doing this so long that this stuff is actually starting to fade from my memory.
Can you tell me about a really great date that you've been on?
Yeah. Like, one was very spontaneous, and we met for coffee, and then like 30 minutes into it, it seemed really fun, and we ended up, hey, let's just go to the zoo. So we just went to the zoo, and then the zoo was awesome. We're like, hey, well, let's just go to dinner. And then the day just kept growing, and it turned out it didn't work out, but that was a fun date. I don't know. That was fun.
It sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a motorcycle. I've been on some motorcycle dates that have been fun, just going for a motorcycle ride. I don't have it anymore, but those have been fun.
Cool. That's different.
Yeah. I like doing stuff. That podcast I mentioned had some really good points. Like, I love going to like an escape room. You can learn a lot about a person's personality in one of those things. And that might be a bit
in
much.
In 1 hour.
Yeah. Right. Like, some people have zero problem solving abilities. And it's like, I don't know. Like, their common sense is completely not here. That's so bad. You should not use that to screen out potential partners. But
I mean, an escape room to partner screenings actually sounds like a pretty okay idea.
They don't have to actually escape. They just have to show some certain level of common sense problem solving abilities, right? Like
yeah, so. I mean, think about an escape room.
Right.
Communication, problem solving. Stress, pressure.
Totally. You learn a lot about someone in an escape room. That's serious. I'm actually not joking. It's kind of funny. So
I wholeheartedly believe you. And then I was thinking, why have I never done this?
It's a big turn on when you get into an escape room with a woman and she's just kicking ass, like super sharp and smart. You're like, I'm so turned on right now. This woman is so smart. Yeah. It's a turn on.
That's awesome. I like this idea also as a first date.
Yeah, I've done that. It's been fun.
Dang, cool.
Okay, I'm going to just really open up to you with something very vulnerable, but this is probably the most awkward date. Is I had a surgery a year ago, and it was like a surgery that you don't want to have to go through. A guy might have to have, let's just say that. Like a month or two later, I meet someone online that looks like a really nice person, and we start chatting, we match. And early on, I'm like, I kind of feel like I've met this girl before. And I'm, you know, when you're on dating sites for 12 years and actively dating for 12 years in a fairly small town, you're going to run into someone that you've run into before, right? So that's what my brain was thinking, is I think I dated this woman or went on a date with this woman before, maybe. And she's like, no, we've never met. I'm like, okay, I just feel like I've met you before. So we go to our first date over drinks and dinner or something. And sure enough, man, when she shows up in person, I'm even more convinced I've met her before. But she's like, no, definitely never met you. And then so she starts asking the regular questions, like, what do you do for work? And my work is kind of unique. So when I described the work that I do, she immediately had this look on her face. She's like, now I know how I know you. She goes, I was your nurse like a month ago. And I'm like, oh my God, it was so embarrassing. So yeah, it was embarrassing.
Surprise. And you were like post-surgery, kind of out of it.
Exactly. Like, they drug you up in surgery. So my memory was not good, but it was good enough to know that I'd seen this face before, and they were very kind to me at the time. So I knew I had good memories of this person. But anyway, she was super nice and very, very sweet gal, but there just wasn't a connection for whatever reason. Mm. That was kind of embarrassing and awkward.
That would have been a way to meet someone.
Right. Well, she certainly knew what she was getting herself into, I guess, physically. She'd seen me in my most vulnerable point. So yeah. That's probably way too much information for your podcast. You'll probably have to edit that out.
No, not at all. I like when people open up and share the stories of things that, you know, really touch them or inspire them, or alternatively, things that really, you know, shut someone down or make them feel hopeless or lost. You mentioned loneliness in the beginning, and this is a theme that comes up a lot with people I'm interviewing. You know, at some point, and I think you even said it, you get to a point you're just like, well, it's working for them, why is it not working for me? Yeah, that's actually a good question. Why do you think it's not working for you?
I'm picky. I know that's a factor. It just is what it is. Like, I'm just not going to settle for someone who I don't think is a good partner, because I did that for 27 years and it was awful. I think Lincoln has a fairly limited dating pool of women in their 50s who are relatively well-adjusted and stable, who take care of themselves reasonably. Like, you don't have to be like supermodels or anything. I'm not that picky, but you know, someone who kind of takes care of themselves, doesn't smoke. Like, smoking's an automatic deal breaker for me. Drug addiction, no. Alcoholic, no. Like, you can drink, you can even like, I don't care if someone recreationally smokes weed once in a while. That's not a deal breaker for me. But you know, like, those are things, I don't know, like, when you factor in the distance, the age requirement, being financially responsible, not rich, being emotionally stable, not having super young kids, not being separated or fresh out of a divorce with a crazy ex that still hasn't gotten over all of that. I just don't want that drama in my life. Those are just, it just narrows it down, you know? And maybe of the 100% of people you meet, that narrows it down to like 2-3% of the people you meet are probably going to be candidates.
What do you find the most frustrating about dating? If you had to pick, let's say like top three things.
Probably just that return on investment thing I mentioned earlier, where when you compare the amount of time, energy, and money you put into going on dates and the fact that you get almost zero return on that, that can just get frustrating. It just feels like you're knocking on the wrong door all the time. That's about it. I mean, okay, the other thing is, the thing I really dislike most about dating, I really don't like letting people down. Like, I'm a people person. I'm a people pleaser to a fault. And if you meet someone, you have to be willing to open up a little bit and try it out. You got to test the waters a little bit. And when you start testing the waters, meaning you decide to go on repeated dates over time, and hey, maybe you even become intimate and you have sex weeks or months into it. That's a natural thing. It's still all part of the feeling out phase of kind of getting to know that person. And then after getting to know them for days, weeks, or months, at some point, you just kind of feel like, you know what, this just isn't the right match. And when you tell someone that, sometimes you get some pretty extreme reactions. I don't like that. Like, that conflict part of it, I don't like. I don't like hurting anyone's feelings. I don't want anyone feeling devastated or crushed because of something I did. So I don't like that part. I think it's just a risk of dating, but some people deal with it better than others. You know, some people just go bananas when you tell them, hey, you know, I've enjoyed meeting you, but after getting to know you a little bit more, I just don't think we're a match. You know, it's not you. Like, we're all puzzle pieces on the table. And just because two puzzle pieces don't happen to fit each other doesn't mean that either one of the puzzle pieces is bad. But that's some people just don't see it that way. They just see it as a personal rejection and they get really angry. And I really don't like that part of dating.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's a drag.
On the other end of that spectrum, what are you finding the most enjoyable about dating?
I just love learning things and I love meeting people. I'm just a people person. So it's just cool to meet different people and hear their stories. And, you know, you learn something from everyone. You know, when I listen to some other person's story, it might validate a feeling I had, or it might challenge a feeling I've had or a belief. And it might make me think about things a different way. I've made great friends. You know, I've made some great connections and friends from it, even though the dating part didn't work out. So I like the excitement of meeting new people and learning new things. And you do get that out of dating. It's better than sitting at home watching Netflix.
Okay. Final question. Do you have any advice or words of wisdom you want to leave other listeners with?
I feel very apprehensive about that because you're asking a guy who hasn't been able to figure out dating for 12 years. So what position am I in to give people dating advice? You know, just be a good human being, because shit comes around back on you if you're not, like, you know, karma is real, and just treat people, you know. And I say this, and I'm sure there's times where I haven't treated people the way I should have, so I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I would just say treat people with respect and kindness and just be yourself, be a good person, and if it's meant to happen, it's going to happen. You know, if you're a woman, for God's sakes, be safe. Sometimes, you know, as a former cop, when I go on dates with women, they're not like, they'll pick a spot to meet and it's like a remote trail to walk. And I'm like, you're crazy. You know, you're lucky. I'm like a normal guy, but there's some scary dudes out there. And I have female friends on the dating scene, even in little old Lincoln, Nebraska, that have shared some experiences with me that were, for a woman, I'm sure were really terrifying, you know. And I feel bad that women have to put up with that crap. And dating's hard enough as it is, and to be a woman and have that stuff. So I would say, aside from being safe and being a decent human being, you know, maybe just accept that just because someone's not a fit for you doesn't mean that you failed, you know, if somebody says, hey, I really liked meeting you, enjoyed it, but I just don't think we're a match, don't take it personal, because there's a million women out there that would meet me and say, you know what, I don't think you're my guy, you're just not a match for me, but I know I'm a decent human being, I know I have a lot to offer. So I think just understanding that too.
Dating Log is recorded and hosted by me, Wyndham Juno. It is produced by Harry Dart. Our artwork is in collaboration with Esme Hemming Studio. Season 2 is in full swing, so if you'd like to be on the show or know someone who could do with a Dating Log intervention, then send us a message. You can DM us on Instagram at Dating Log Podcast or email us at datinglogpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is datinglogpodcast.com. Please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're feeling really generous, leave us a review. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a fresh episode. In the meantime, please don't ghost us.